Human trafficking continues to be an issue around the world and here in our state. And our next two guests are helping the victims of trafficking navigate the legal system and their everyday lives. Rachel Monica Wilcox is an attorney and mediator. She's the founder and CEO of Lotus, a Milwaukee-based legal clinic for victims of trafficking and other forms of gender-based violence. And Sister Rosemary Bonk is a school sister of Notre Dame's Central Pacific Province. She's a member of the advisory board of Sisters Program South, a drop-in center working to help women in prostitution or sex trafficking create safer, healthier lives. She's also involved with the Human Trafficking Task Force of Greater Milwaukee. We talked with them both earlier in the week. Now, Rachel, you've been working firsthand with people impacted by trafficking through your legal clinic, Lotus, for a lot of years now. What first inspired you to get involved with this issue and create these resources?
So I was teaching in about 2011 at Mount Mary University. I was the director of the Justice Program, and I really wanted to bring some fresh energy to an all-women's university, and decided that, you know, the topic of human trafficking was not well known as a domestic issue, even though it was very clear that Milwaukee, for certain, and the entire state of Wisconsin had its problems with this. So I started teaching about it, and very quickly, I would say within a year, got known as an attorney, and then also as somebody who knew about the issues and understood the needs of survivors, and was contacted by a local law enforcement agent who had six women that had just been through a federal court case against testifying against their trafficker, and they all had civil legal needs, multiple civil legal needs, and so she asked if I could assist in finding them some help. And I picked up the phone, and it's the rule of the universe. Within six phone calls, you can pretty much achieve almost anything if you put your mind to it. And I was able to place those cases with attorneys who had a heart and a soul and a passion to help. And that really gave me the idea and the inspiration that I knew where there were 6,000. And that, in truth, has been the case and the start of the work of Lotus.
And Sister Rosemary, can you talk about how you and the school sisters of Notre Dame have gotten involved in this issue?
Well, interestingly, going back a number of years in time, I taught at an alternative high school for dropouts. And what I found was that some of the women that were in the school had come off the street. They had been involved in the street sex trade, but had somehow been able to come forth and participate at this school. And I thought they were such wonderful women. And I couldn't imagine how they had ever gotten involved in the first place. And secondly, I was just in awe that somehow they pulled themselves out. And so someone on the staff there knew how I was feeling about this. And so she knew there was a group of survivors coming up from Chicago, from Genesis House, and they were going to be spending a weekend at a missionary house here. And I was invited to join them in the evening. They were going to be doing some sharing. And the first thing I noticed when they arrived was their excitement, because they had been given money to go shopping at the Grand Avenue Mall. And they had never had money to buy gifts for people for a long time. So that was just the greatest thing for them. But then when they sat down to do some sharing, they were invited to bring their favorite scripture quote. And I'm saying, scripture quote? These women have a spiritual side to them? Well, it was so moving. I don't remember the scripture stories, but I just remember being in tears, hearing what they had to share and what those stories meant to them.
Rachel, can you talk about the difference that getting some help, legal help, social help, and more can make for a woman who has been through the legal process and been, I guess, a victim of sex trafficking?
I can. So what we often don't understand is that most victims or survivors have had encounters with the legal system that criminalized them instead of actually identifying them as victims. So it is not uncommon for us to meet a woman who has gotten herself out of the life of sexual exploitation, and she might have $15,000 or $20,000 in municipal tickets or fines. She may have a record that is 3 inches thick. We worked with one client who had over 100 different charges that we worked to clear from her record. They were all accumulated while she was trafficked. So we forget that the individuals appear as something that might not be the reality of what their story has been. Trafficking can often begin pretty early in somebody's life, maybe when they're 12 or 13 years old, and continuing that victimization through early adulthood. So by the time they're 30, you don't necessarily identify a victim of child sexual exploitation, even though that's exactly what they have been. So the legal help removes obstacles. I would say that is one of the primary things that it does. It can help somebody get an apartment. It can help somebody get back into school. It can help somebody access critical healthcare benefits to pay for repair and damage that was done to them during a life of very difficult sexual exploitation. But it also provides compassion, support, and mentoring from a professional individual who treats them as a client. And I just love it about Lotus is that we will never charge an individual for the legal services we provide, and yet they come to us as a purchaser of professional services. And we take their lead on how quickly to move the case or how slowly. And this is so stabilizing for a person whose identity has been shattered. You have to go brick by brick. It can be a very slow process, one step forward, 10 steps back, but we're there for the course of it. We are there. You can enter into the legal services and come back again and again, and the well never goes dry. So I think it's compassionate, client-directed service, and the removal of obstacles.
And Sister Rosemary, you're a part of something called Sisters Program South, which helps survivors create safer, healthier lives. Can you talk about the kind of things you work with your clients on?
I actually don't work directly with clients. I am on the advisory board for the Sisters Program South, and this was an initiative that was thought of by religious congregations of women who wanted to do something to respond to the problem in Milwaukee. And so in 2015, they started a faith-based initiative that was made up of religious congregations, the Benedict Center and Ascension Lutheran Church. And with a lot of fundraising and looking around, they were finally able to rent space at Hope House on 2nd and Orchard. And the program is officially started now. It began in 2017. And what they do is a drop-in center. It's sort of like a daytime shelter for people that are looking for a safe place to be. And so when someone comes there, they try to assess what the person's needs are. Sometimes they just need a place to sleep. They need food. If they need more, they begin to talk with them because they have a case manager and a counselor, and they determine what need the woman needs to work with first. There might be a number of needs, medical needs, a desire to go to school, a desire to find a place to live. So they respond to whatever the need is. And they do it without judgment. There's no judgment as to whether the woman is on drugs, whether she's involved in the street trade, but she's welcome there and hope that they will be able to give her a healthier and a safer life.
And Rachel, a lot of people around Wisconsin might be listening and thinking, this is a big city problem. I understand you actually get a lot of contacts from rural areas as well. Is that right?
We certainly do. I would say in the last 3 weeks, my staff told me that over 65% of our new case calls were from rural areas. And it's also really important for our listeners to understand it's not just sex trafficking. It's labor trafficking. Wisconsin is an enormous state in terms of agriculture, the hospitality industry, the dairy industry, forestry, and construction. And each of those industries brings in a great deal of people that are very, very vulnerable and are, in fact, trafficked for labor. So we have significant numbers of labor trafficking cases, and those individuals have a very different profile or different background. The common theme between both sex and labor trafficking is exploitation of vulnerabilities. So whether you're from a big town or a small town or a tiny village in Mexico and you don't speak the language, you have inherent vulnerabilities that somebody is trying to exploit. And so that is something I think most individuals in Wisconsin, it's happening right under your feet. I guarantee you it's happening right in your community, and you just haven't seen it yet.
Sister Rosemary, to the extent that we do think of people who are being trafficked for sex, or as Rachel was saying, for labor, and mostly they're probably invisible to us, maybe we think of them a little bit. Can you talk about the need to see people in these situations as humans?
I'm so glad you asked that question. I think that's exactly why our School Sisters of Notre Dame are interested, because one of our directions is to help people to become who they're supposed to become, enabling people to reach the fullness of their potential. And I think that when you work with these women, you don't see them and label them as someone involved in the sex trade. They are women or men, or there are even young boys. And you see them as people, and you want to bring about a transformation so that the world can be transformed. And also, I think one of the issues is that if we could come up with more resources to help these women, but also stricter rules for those who are trafficked, giving them a longer sentence, for people who are seeking, who are the solicitors, that there might be something that would happen with them. And I know that the Benedict Center actually has a restorative justice program for those, so that they have to come to classes, and as part of that, they get to hear the stories of some of the women who have been in the sex trade.
And Rachel, as we wrap up, we've been talking about the work you do on the legal and other levels, and the work Sister Rosemary and her colleagues are doing. Are there changes, though, you'd like to see when it comes to support from state and local governments?
Absolutely. So I'll just say a couple of the ones that we're working on the most right now. Wisconsin currently has a law that allows a victim of trafficking to vacate her conviction for prostitution if it can be shown to the court that she obtained that conviction during a period where she was being trafficked through force, fraud, or coercion, that someone else was dictating her activities. The trouble with that law is that it's so narrow. And the chances are that most of the clients we see who we do obtain this vacature for and clear that prostitution conviction have multiple other kinds of crimes. And the law really comes from a misunderstanding of the scope of the problem and the way that individuals who are vulnerable get used, you know, for multiple bad purposes by people that are in control and have got some dominance over them. So we would love for the state legislature to take up that statute and amend it and follow the lead of multiple other states in the country. There are at least seven other states that have strong laws that allow to the removal of convictions for varied other kinds of crimes. And it's just, we feel like that is one of the most important things that could be done right now to address the needs of survivors. Now, that's on the far end, right? Somebody's maybe 20 or 30 years old, maybe 50, 60 years old even. We've got clients with those needs. But when we're also talking about the people who are 12 years old up to 17, we could also pass a law called a safe harbor that would decriminalize the act of a child or a youth who's been commercially exploited and never allow them to be charged with the crime of prostitution. Our law currently allows for an individual who's, say, 17 years old, who's been, you know, maybe she's posting online and, you know, she's clearly active in commercial sexual activity. She can be charged with prostitution. And we would like to remove that because under the law, frankly, it makes no sense. A person under the age of 17 is not granted legal capacity to consent to sex. So why on earth would we ever charge them with the crime of prostitution? This would help us on the front end to remove some of those collateral consequences that we see label somebody as a victim from age 17, who's labeled them as a criminal when they're actually a victim, and then their life continues to snowball from there on after. Mostly, I feel, because something in their spirit or their identity has shattered, and they don't see themselves as worthy of a good life that everybody else is entitled to. So why don't we start on the front end and pass a safe harbor law that allows us to stop the problem before it even starts and give victims better identification, services, compassion, and allow them to thrive from an earlier age on.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks to both of you for joining us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you, Rob, for all of your astute interview questions.
Rachel Monaco Wilcox is an attorney and mediator and also the founder and CEO of Lotus, a Milwaukee-based legal clinic for victims of trafficking and other forms of gender-based violence. Sister Rosemarie Bonk is a school sister of Notre Dame Central Pacific Province and a member of the Advisory Board of Sisters Program South, a drop-in center working to help women in prostitution or sex trafficking create safer, healthier lives. You could learn more about sex trafficking in our state and hear from a survivor at a Thursday, March 7th event at Mount Mary University in Milwaukee. Rachel Monaco Wilcox will be the keynote speaker there. The event is free to attend, but online registration is required by February 28th. For details, go to WPR.org and search trafficking.